Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Oligarch's Wealth and Power in the New Russia by David E. Hoffman is a non-fiction history and political economy account of Russia's transformation after the collapse of the Soviet Union. The book examines how a small circle of businessmen, bankers, media owners, and political insiders accumulated extraordinary wealth and influence during the chaotic privatization of the 1990s, rather than treating that period as a simple market transition. Hoffman shows it as a struggle over state assets, access, and leverage, where weak institutions allowed private power to grow alongside political instability. The narrative is built around major figures such as Boris Berezovsky, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, Vladimir Gusinsky, Alexander Smolensky, Yuri Lushkov, and Anatoly Chube. Through their stories, the book explains how privatization, media control, election politics, and financial crises reshaped the Russian state and helped set the stage for Vladimir Putin's rise. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how post-Soviet privatization created a new class of power brokers. A central theme of the book is that Russia's shift from state socialism to market capitalism did not produce a broad, competitive business class. Instead, privatization often transferred valuable assets into the hands of a very small number of well-connected individuals. Hoffman explains the process as historically contingent and institutionally weak state firms were sold or redistributed in an environment where legal protections, regulatory oversight, and transparent markets were still underdeveloped. That made personal access to officials more important than normal commercial skill. The result was the rise of oligarchs who could convert political proximity into ownership of strategic industries. This is important because the book does not portray their wealth as merely entrepreneurial success. It presents it as the outcome of a rushed and uneven transition in which rules were still being written, allowing insiders to define the terms of capitalism itself. Secondly, the loans for shares deals and the logic of asset capture. Hoffman places special emphasis on the loans for shares scheme, one of the most revealing mechanisms in the book. This arrangement let politically connected businessmen gain control of major state assets at deeply discounted values in exchange for short-term financial support to the government. The book treats this not as a technical financial footnote, but as a key mechanism of asset capture. It shows how state weakness, fiscal desperation, and insider bargaining combined to move national wealth into private hands. The significance of this process is that it blurred the line between public rescue and private enrichment. Oligarchs were not just buyers in a market. They were participants in a system where access, timing, and leverage determined ownership. Hoffman uses this to explain why wealth in 1990s Russia became so concentrated and why privatization became associated with corruption, legitimacy crises, and public distrust of reform. Thirdly, media ownership and political influence as tools of oligarchic power. Another major dimension of the book is the way oligarchs used media assets and political connections to shape outcomes beyond business. Hoffman shows that ownership of television networks and newspapers could translate into real influence over elections, public narratives, and elite alliances. This matters especially in the context of the 1996 presidential election, when powerful business figures helped support Boris Yeltsin against a communist challenge. The book suggests that media control was not simply a side business but a strategic asset, because it allowed oligarchs to protect their holdings, promote preferred candidates, and negotiate with the state from a position of strength. Hoffman's analysis shows how capitalism in this environment was inseparable from political messaging. The media became a battlefield where economic interests were defended through public persuasion, revealing that the new Russian elite operated through both market power and narrative control. Fourthly, the 1998 financial collapse exposed the fragility of the new order. The 1998 Russian financial crisis is a key turning point in the book because it revealed how unstable the post-Soviet economic system had become. Hoffman uses the crisis to show that the fortunes of the oligarchs were tied to a fragile combination of debt, speculation, political favoritism, and weak state capacity. When the ruble collapsed and the government defaulted, many business empires were forced into defensive maneuvers, and the apparent solidity of the new capitalist class was exposed as conditional. The crisis is important in the book because it ends any illusion that privatization alone had created a mature market order. Instead, it demonstrated that the system depended on short-term borrowing, access to power, and the ability to survive shocks better than competitors. Hoffman's treatment of the crisis also shows that economic collapse had political consequences, accelerating distrust in reform and creating conditions in which stronger state authority would later seem attractive. Lastly, Putin's rise and the narrowing space for oligarchic autonomy. The final major theme is the transition from oligarchic pluralism to a more centralized state under Vladimir Putin. Hoffman shows that the oligarchs initially operated in a system where business elites could bargain with the presidency and influence state decisions. But this arrangement was inherently unstable because it depended on personal ties rather than durable institutions. As Putin rose to power, the balance shifted. The book explains that the new leadership sought to curb the independent political reach of major tycoons and reassert state dominance over strategic assets and public authority. This does not mean that business and politics became separate, but it does show a major change in who set the terms of the relationship. Hoffman uses this shift to mark the end of the 1990s experiment with elite-driven capitalism and the beginning of a more disciplined, state-centered model of power. That change is one reason the book remains useful for understanding modern Russian politics. In conclusion, The Oligarchs is best suited for readers interested in Russian history. Post-communist transitions, political economy, media power, and the relationship between wealth and state authority. It is especially valuable for students, journalists, policy readers, and general readers who want an accessible but substantive explanation of how Russia's 1990s upheaval produced a new elite class. What makes the book stand out is its combination of narrative force and institutional analysis. Hoffman does not simply list corruption scandals or recount a political era in broad strokes. He connects individual lives to larger structural changes, showing how privatization, election strategy, financial instability, and state weakness reinforced one another. Compared with more abstract studies of transition economics, this book is more concrete and readable. Compared with simple political histories, it is more attentive to the mechanics of wealth creation and media influence. Its strength lies in making a complicated era legible without reducing it to a single cause. For readers trying to understand why Russian capitalism developed such an unusual form, the book offers one of the clearest and most influential accounts available. If you would like to support David Hoffman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.